Good afternoon. Again, glad to see everyone who's come here today. Led of, I trust, of the love of God and desire to be in His kingdom one more time. And it's good to be here, to see you all again. To be in the Lord's house one more time here. I've got a piece of scripture that has been on my mind on and off, and I don't know what to do except try and speak a few words on it, and I trust and pray the Lord is in and will be in the matter. And I ask an interest in your prayers as I stand before you. The preaching and the hearing of the gospel is both in the Lord's hands. And the congregation, I believe, has as much to do with the preaching of the gospel as the minister, in the sense that they are in prayer for the one that stands before them. So I want to begin reading for those of you who have your Bibles with you, found in the Gospel of Mark, and in the 15th chapter, and I'm going to begin reading in the 42nd verse. It says, "And now when even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead any while. And when he knew of it, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid." Now this reading here in Mark, of course, you will recognize is right after the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior. And it sort of stuck in my mind Pilate's reaction when Joseph had come and craved the body of Jesus that he might take it down and bury it. And it says that Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And I remember the first time that I read over that passage of Scripture and Pilate's marveling or wondering if he was really already dead. And I thought, well, you know, he's been up on the cross and he's been paying our sin debt. And he's endured all of the things that are a part of that. And I thought about Pilate. At that time, I thought, well, maybe Pilate just didn't really understand what all was going on. And the truth is that Pilate knew a lot about crucifixions. Being in the military, being where he was now, and where he had evidently been throughout a portion of his life, had seen many men crucified, had seen many such things take place. And when we read the account of our Lord and Savior as he hung on the cross and the things that happened to him, and even the mockery of a trial and the mocking of him himself as prior to going on to the cross itself. There's a lot that sometimes, like Pilate, we might miss. Now, like I said, Pilate understood a lot about crucifixions. He had probably presided over numbers of them. And one thing he knew that we may not think of is that most crucifixions lasted longer than 6 hours. In fact, it was not uncommon for them to last a day, even as many as 3 days, before the person expired on the cross of Calvary. So no doubt Pilate was wondering if he was really dead and what was really going on. And if we remember the accounts in some of the other Gospels, we'll understand that the thieves, the one on the right hand and the one on the left, they broke their legs because they were not yet dead. And I imagine that Pilate thought that this was surely a weak man, that this was surely a man who couldn't carry his weight, so to speak, in his idea and concept of what life would be like. But when we read about the account of our Lord and Savior on the cross of Calvary, it's easy for even us, as God's people, who've been blessed to see and know and understand the victory in Jesus Christ and the putting away of our sins and the understanding that He would rise again, which none of them knew, and even the disciples who had been told that it was going to come to pass just really didn't believe it, had seen the nails in His hands, had seen the cruel treatment of our Lord and Savior, knowing and believing and with all their heart and soul that He was the Christ, the Son, the living God, the chosen of God, the one who was come to take away the sins of His people. And when our Lord and Savior said that He was going to Jerusalem and to be betrayed and to be killed, the disciples just really didn't believe Him. And then they saw Him led away and eventually saw Him nailed to the cross and raised up, suspended between heaven and earth in that torturous form of death, probably one of, if not the most gruesome ever devised of men. Unlike the country in which we live today, where cruel and unusual punishment is banned, it was the norm in Rome. It was the norm for them to make a person pay as much as they could. And as our Lord and Savior hung there, suspended between heaven and earth, with all of the blood dripping from His hands and from His feet, and with the mocking and wondering if Elijah would come and rescue Him, those walking by wagging their heads and saying, He saved others, He cannot save Himself. And over again, these things were being said about our Lord and Savior. And He was facing the pain and the suffering and the agony that exists when anyone hangs upon a cross. And what happens when people are hung on a cross is they're suspended there. And when they let off with their feet to give a little bit of break to their feet from the pain that's there, they begin to hang by their hands. So they're constantly back and forth, back and forth. Their body begins to be thirsty. They begin to go, all sorts of things happen that causes them to hurt. But eventually what happens is they can't move. They can't go anywhere, just this up and down motion until they gradually strangle in their own bodily fluids because they can't hold themselves up any longer. And the centurions were sent around the cross there of our Lord and Savior, like for every person whom they crucified, Not to see to it that he was all right, but to be sure that he suffered the most and that no one took him down from the cross. And when we think about those things and the beatings that he took, when we think about the crown of thorns placed on his head and pressed down upon him, that's all really just more than we can really imagine the terribleness of it. But Pilate knew all about those things. He was a military man. He understood and he marveled that he was so soon dead. 6 hours and this man is dead on the cross. And Joseph came and begged the body. And when he knew he was dead, of course, he let him have it. Have the body of our Lord and Savior. But I want us to think about what Pilate didn't see. And what I'm afraid that many times we don't see if we're not careful. And what even many of God's children miss out on when we think about the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior. And I don't want to in any way make it sound like the physical suffering of our Lord and Savior wasn't horrible and terrible. But that was just the beginning of the woes of our Lord and Savior faced. Our Lord, who had come from heaven's pure world, taking upon him a body of flesh, and dwelt for 33 and a half years on this earth and never sinned, and not one time. But he came here, as I said this morning, for a reason and for a purpose. And at the appointed hour, he was now at that purpose, that he should bear the sins of his people in his own body on the tree. He was made to be sin, though he himself knew no sin. He was our substitute. And as he hung there suspended between heaven and earth, and I've always marveled that you know, of the 6 hours that our Lord and Savior was on the cross, three of them were in the daylight and three of them were in the darkness, even though it should be the middle of the day. It's always been, there's some of what we can understand about our Lord and Savior suffering. And there are things that we'll never fully be able to look on as long as we're here on this earth and fully comprehend. But I want you to bear with me and think a little bit and try to look above that which Pilate knew. Pilate knew about natural men and how they would last. He knew about natural suffering and how this would go. And as far as he was concerned, even though he knew that Jesus wasn't guilty of anything worthy of death, he was willing to put him there in order to keep from having trouble in Jerusalem at the Passover. But as our Lord lay down on the cross and he was nailed to it and raised up there, our sins were laid upon him. I'm not saying figuratively that the sins were on him. I'm saying they were literally laid upon the body of Jesus as if he had committed them himself. When the scripture says, the Apostle Paul says, that he was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, what is he saying there? He's saying that Jesus endured everything that we sinners would endure. And he was exactly like us, except one thing, and that is that he himself never sinned. He was made to be sin for you and me. He was taking away my sins, I believe. He was taking away your sins and the sins of every little hair of promise all across the world that ever has or ever will call upon the name of God. Our Lord was there in that shame before His Heavenly Father. I mean, we read about the mockery of those who walk by, you know. Said He saved others, He can't save Himself. Let God come and save Him if He'll have Him. We all understand something about that. We all understand what it's made to be made light of and to endure those things and how grievous it can be. We may understand a little something about the nail prints in the hands and feet, having been barefoot and stepped on nails and things of that nature. I'm not saying that we understand the fullness of that, but we have at least some concept of that. What do you think it was like for the Son of God who had inhabited heaven's pure world with the Father in His blessings continually to be hanging on the cross with the guilt of you and me upon Him? The shame, the spiritual suffering, to be before His Father in such a condition. Made to be sin for you and me. And yet He was there at the will of His Father. He was there to fulfill the promise that they had made to deliver us from our sins. And as the sky turned black, and our Lord was enduring the suffering and the shame and the agony in the natural sense, and the shame of being in that condition with our sins imputed to Him before the Father, all of the torment of a burning fiery hell was poured out upon Him. And what that means, and I know that we'll never fully comprehend it on this side of glory land, but what that means is that everything that you would have endured and everything that I would have endured and everything that every little heir of promise, every little child of God would endure in an eternity of a burning fiery hell was laid upon our Lord and Savior as He hung there on the cross. You see, this isn't just about forgiveness. And this isn't just about God letting it go. This is about God letting us go and placing His Son there in our room instead to suffer what should have been ours and would have been ours were it not for the love of our Lord and Savior. And when we think about the fact that the wages of sin is death, do you ever stop and think, if the wages of sin is death, then what is the wages of sins? Plural. You see, our Lord had to overcome each and every sin that you and I have ever sinned or ever will sin. For each and every person that was a part of this, because He was dying for you personally. He was bearing your sins upon Himself personally. And you were in Him as He was hanging there on the cross. You were upon His mind as He was hanging there on the cross, though we didn't even exist at that time. But He knew us. And as the weight of a burning fiery hell was being poured out upon our Lord and Savior, our Father who was pouring that out, His Father who was pouring that out, turned His face from Him. He had ever been in communication with the Father. He had always prayed to the Father. He always knew that the Father heard His prayers. And now the Father would turn away from Him and leave Him to endure this entirely and completely by Himself. I know we all know what it's like sometimes to feel like we're all alone and nobody knows and nobody cares and nobody understands. But I'm talking about real aloneness. Aloneness from the Father. Aloneness from His Father. Complete separation that He might bear our sins. No more ministering of angels. No more outpouring of the love of the Father upon the Son. But in these hours, He's there completely in His own righteousness with no one to help. No one to give Him relief. No one to deliver Him. But He Himself would bear those sins, the fullness of the punishment of those sins, as He hung there on the cross. Of course, Pilate didn't see that. He didn't understand that. And he missed it altogether. Now, for a man like Pilate, that might not surprise us. But how many times do we as God's little children forget that? How many of God's little children are never really brought to understand that Jesus died for them personally and took their sins personally away as He was dying there on the cross? And that this same Lord and Savior who died for you that day is never going to not look out for you. Never going to fail to provide that which is in your best interest. Yes, there will be times when we chastise, and yes, there are times when it feels like that's pretty bad. But none of us knows what it's like, and never will know what it was like for the Son of God as He hung there on the cross. Pilate didn't see it. And you and I can't naturally see it. But by the grace of our Lord and Savior, if we see who Jesus Christ is, we see that He died for us personally. The reason that the law has no hold on you is because our Lord took the punishment in your own stead. The reason that many of God's children are today looking for a personal Savior, and I don't want to make light of others because they're God's children, the reason that many of them are looking for a personal Savior is because they don't see what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary in His fullness. Just as Pilate didn't see any of that. Just as the Pharisees weren't seeing that. Just as the disciples that were there at the time in their unbelief were not seeing that. Before He was crucified, our Lord said that He was going to Jerusalem and be killed. He said, if you love the Father, you would be glad. Because I go to my Father. My Father is greater than all. If we were in tune with the will of God, we would rejoice at the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, even though we're saddened that we brought that upon Him. But thankful and rejoice that He loved us enough to bear those sins in our room instead. To pay the debt that we could never pay, no group of men could ever pay. And if we got a chance to start all over and the slate was wiped clean tonight, we'd be messed it up before we got home. That's who we are. Even when we're trying our best, even when we're desiring to do the best, we're still messing it up. Why? Because sin is still in these mortal bodies. And it will be here until these bodies close their eyes in death. The Lord comes back a second time to bring these bodies forth from the grave, likened to His glorious body. Yet Pilate marveled if He was so soon dead. Because to Pilate, most men will have lasted longer than 6 hours on the cross. But Pilate didn't see all of the anguish and all of the heartache and all of the grief that our Lord was enduring. And the most interesting thing to me at that is that the cross didn't take His life. I like that, you know, thinking about that fact. He died on the cross. He died for our sins. He bore our sins. He endured the suffering. But the cross did not take the life of our Lord and Savior. I think about when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Moses appeared there in glory with the Lord, and Elijah appeared there in glory with the Lord, and they were talking, you know what they were talking about? His decease that He should accomplish in Jerusalem. They weren't talking about all the laws. They weren't talking about things that are here coming. They were talking about the decease of the Son of God, the dying of the Son of God, the accomplishing of that by Jesus Christ. That's what Moses' law was really all about. That's what the prophets were really all about. And to give a little picture of that, and I don't remember which gospel it's in now, but when our Lord was through all these things, is that He looked around and He saw that all was accomplished. And He bowed His head and He gave up the ghost. You see, the cross couldn't really take Him. We're talking about the Son of God here. We're talking about someone who could endure more than anyone ever had or ever will. And still, when it was all poured out on Him, and it was all said and done, and our Lord looked from hanging on the cross and saw that everything that was necessary for the eternal salvation and security of His people was now accomplished. The appeasement of the wrath of God, the justification that the Father needed, and the mercy that you and I need was all there and set in place, and it was all taken care of. He saw it was accomplished, and He bowed His head, and He gave up the ghost. He said He didn't need suffer anymore. Yes, He died on the cross. But the cross didn't take His life. Just like the grave couldn't hold Him, you see. He bowed His head, He gave up the ghost. And when He was taken down from the cross, they buried Him in that tomb for 3 days and 3 nights. And just as at the appointed time He entered onto the cross, at the appointed time He gave up the ghost and was buried then in that sepulcher, and at the appointed time, 3 days and 3 nights later, He came out and He was just as holy and righteous and pure as He was before He ever went on to the cross at all. And He rose there as our intercessor. He arose there as our Savior. He arose there to make intercession for you and me. And He arose there to take His place with the Father once again. I wonder how much that hurt. Not just the Lord to receive it, but hurt the Father to give it to our Lord and Savior as He hung there. And you know why he did it? For his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were yet dead in trespasses and in sins. Even when we were by nature his enemies. Even when we would not have cared about him at all. The God of heaven sent his only begotten Son, and his Son came willingly with one desire, and that was to deliver us. And maintain the righteousness, holiness, and justice of God. And he did. And Pilate just couldn't imagine why it would be that a man would expire after 6 hours on the cross. But Pilate didn't understand all that had taken place there. But more importantly than that, he expired because he gave up the ghost after he had accomplished everything that he came here to do. He rose again the third day to make intercession for you and me. Yet he showed himself to the disciples who ate and drank with him. And he's been calling his children in the new birth ever since. Making us alive in him. And he carries us through this life. Whatever befalls us. Whatever comes our way. And in the end, if we close our eyes in death, he's going to be there to take our souls on up into heaven's pure world while these bodies lie in the grave. And if we're here when he comes again, he's just going to change us in a moment of a twinkling of eye, and we'll be like him and be satisfied. We have more to look forward to than we can ever truly know. And the more we can see of our Lord and Savior and of his love towards us, the less time we have to spend worrying about the petty little things that bother us all from time to time. May the Lord bless and keep you is my hope and prayer. Amen.